Well, good morning.
Good to see you all here on this cold and snowy day. Now, I wonder what your vision is for Woodside Baptist Church. What is it that you want this church to be? What is it we want this church to be? What is it that we want to see God do amongst us as his people? What vision do you have? Is it for a church which has the best youth work or children's work in Croydon? Is it for a church that has the best outreach? Or the best worship? What is your vision for this place? Now, well, we're continuing this morning on our journey through Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And we, in this passage, see Paul's ambition in his vision for the Ephesian church through his prayer. You see, Paul knows the direction that the church should go in, and he is not scared, and he is not holding back to pray for it. For Paul, it is the foundation of what the church should be like. That's his prayer. And as you listen to this passage this morning, ask yourself, how does Paul's vision for the church at Ephesus compare to my vision for the church here at Woodside Baptist Church? So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. In these verses, in this prayer, Paul demonstrates his heart and his vision for a church which is in a missionary situation. The city of Ephesus was a city where the Greek gods were worshipped, magic was practiced, astrology. It was a pagan environment. And many of the Christians in the church at Ephesus were Gentiles rather than Jews. So they come to Christ from this background. This was a missionary situation. And in some ways, as a church, we find ourselves in a similar situation today. In a missionary situation here in the 21st century, in Britain. In almost a pagan society. Not a Christian society. Does our situation compare with the missionary situation at Ephesus? There is a comparison to be made. And so perhaps we should ask ourselves, could Paul's prayer be our prayer as well? Could Paul's prayer for that church in that missionary situation be our prayer for Woodside Baptist Church in the missionary situation that we find ourselves in? And this is a prayer of Paul. He starts off about how he kneels in prayer. If you look through the New Testament and Jesus' teaching, he talks about how the Pharisees would go and stand on the street corners praying. Standing seemed to be the normal way of praying in the New Testament. But Paul here says, I kneel. It shows the sincerity and the seriousness of Paul's prayer. This isn't a throwaway prayer, but it is something that we get the sense that Paul felt deeply about. It was a heartfelt desire for Paul of what he wanted to see birthed in the church at Ephesus. And I don't know about your response to this prayer, but every time I read it, it's kind of wow. The words of this prayer are wonderful, aren't they? And it inspires me to look beyond any meaningless thought that I have about Woodside Baptist Church and pray something bigger. Something bigger for us as the community of God here in Woodside. It's the biggest prayer that could be prayed and puts all other prayers into perspective. This is a wonderful prayer. But what's inspired Paul to pray this prayer? What's the context in which he is writing this? And we actually only have to go back a little way in the book of Ephesians to work this out. He starts off his prayer with three words, for this reason. Now, if you look back to the beginning of chapter 3, he also starts off chapter 3, for this reason. And both of those for these reasons, look back to chapter 2. That wonderful chapter that we looked at about God's grace. How God in his grace has reconciled Jew and Gentile through Christ. And that is the reason that Paul is motivated to pray this prayer. Paul is inspired by what God has already done, but he realizes that the Christians at Ephesus haven't even really begun to understand it yet. And he prays that they understand at a deeper level of what God has done. Now, I grew up in the church. My parents sent me to Sunday school. They didn't go to church themselves, but they sent me to Sunday school from about the age of 5. And I became a Christian in my early teens through that church. But there was something, when I went to university, I joined the Christian Union. And I can remember going away with the Christian Union for a weekend to a house party, which was all the rage back then. I don't know if they still are. They are. Sorry, Rita's shaking her head. But we had a speaker come to speak. And he spoke on the book of Romans. And suddenly, as he spoke, my eyes were open to the gospel in a whole new way. There was a sense that as a young teenager, I knew the gospel. But there was a sense in which I didn't fully know it as well. And there was a sense in which when I went on that house party, my eyes were opened and I understood it at a deeper level. I knew the gospel, but I didn't know it at the same time. And there's a sense in which today I am still learning about God and what he has done for us in Christ. I know the gospel and yet I don't know the gospel in its fullness. Paul is inspired to pray this prayer because he recognizes that the Ephesian Christians know what God has done but yet have fully to grasp it. Do we really know the depths of what God has done for us at Woodside Baptist Church? Are we satisfied to sit at the level that we understand and know at? Or do we want to go deeper? Understanding God and knowing what Christ has done deeper. Do we want to know God more? It's an important question for us to ask ourselves. Are we willing to allow God to reveal more of himself to us? Now, Paul's prayer is made up of two requests, if you look at it. And we're going to look at these two requests this morning. And his first request is found in verses 16, so the start of verse 17. And actually it's a prayer request about God changing us from the inside out. Now we get hung up on the outer life, don't we? About how things look and how things appear. We get hung up about whether people are raising their hands in worship. But there's something deeper about giving our whole life, our whole inner life, over to Jesus in worship. We're doing some great things this Lent by 40 Acts, aren't we? Encouraging us to be generous. But there's something different between showing kindness by giving someone a lift versus being kind about the way we think about people on the inside. And the way we be generous about the way we think about people on the inside. You know, Jesus in Matthew 15 talks about how out of our hearts, how out of our inner lives comes the sin that so easily trips us up. Christianity is not just about outward living. It's not just about the image. It's not just about what people see. But it is about our inner being. It is about our inner life as well. It's about what we know deep in our hearts and about what God sees within us too. And Paul's prayer shows us that it's about what's on the inside that counts just as much as the outside. Sometimes we buy bags of apples from Sainsbury's. And you open the bag of apple, put them in your fridge, and then one day you get an apple out of your fridge, and it looks really nice and juicy on the outside. But you bite into it, and you find it's gone bad. Sometimes the outside looks nice and juicy, but you only have to probe beneath the surface to find out that our inner life is not what God would have us to have it be. So the summary of what Paul says in verses 16 to 17 is, I pray out of God the Father's inexhaustible riches, that he may strengthen you with power on the inside through his Spirit, so that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is at work on our inner transformation. The whole work of God is orientated to transforming us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit strengthening us as we realize and face the reality of ourselves and the sin which lives within us. You know, we pray, come Holy Spirit. But do we only want the miracles, the healing, the words of knowledge, the prophecy, etc.? Or when we pray, come Holy Spirit, do we want the Holy Spirit who changes us on the inside as well? The Holy Spirit who strengthens us with power on the inside. So that Christ's presence may live in us. So that Christ may be a living presence, shaping us, shaping who we are, shaping our responses to the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. Paul's prayer is a prayer about changing us from the inside out. And the implication of Paul's prayer is that Christ dwells in our hearts, and the strengthening of the Spirit comes in varying degrees. There is more of God's work within us for us to know. There is more that God can do. There is opportunity for inner growth in Christ for all of us. And I wonder this morning how we're hindering that process. Are we not working with God at all? Are we happy just with an external form of Christianity? Or maybe we're not making that inner spiritual growth a priority in our lives. We're not seeking to allow God to shape us from the inside out and transform us. You know, an important question for us to ask is, what are we and God working on today in our lives? Because God does want to transform us. He does want to change us. But then we see Paul's second request in verses 17, the second half of 17 to verse 19. And it's a prayer about grasping the ungraspable love of God. Paul says that the Ephesian Christians have been rooted and established in love. And there are two images there. Firstly, there's the image from nature, the image of being rooted. Ephesian Christians are a well-rooted tree in the soil of love. God's love nurtures and provides the nutrients for the Christian life. But then he also uses an image from architecture. That word established. And the New International Version translation, which I read, hides that Paul is actually using an image of love as a foundation on which a building is being built. That's what it means in the original Greek. He's saying they have a strong foundation in love. So here is a group of people who have been rooted and established in love. They have experienced God's love at work in their lives. God's love, which nurtures them and is a foundation for who they are. But even though Paul says that they are rooted in establishing love, he prays that they may have power, together with all God's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love, which is ungraspable, which surpasses knowledge. Paul is saying, you think you know God's love because of what you've experienced. You have seen how Christ has brought together both Jew and Gentile, how two peoples have been reconciled in him. But there is a width, a length, a height, a depth to Christ's love which you have yet to grasp. In fact, there is a paradox. We can know something of Christ's love, which is ultimately unknowable in its completeness. Paul is saying, don't think you've ever got your head around the wonder of God's love. There is always more to grasp. There is always more to know. John Stott, the famous Bible preacher from the 20th century, when commenting on this passage, says that the love of Christ is broad enough to encompass all humanity, is long enough to last for all eternity, is deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner, and high enough to exalt him or her to heaven. There is no one who lives outside Christ's love, no matter who they are. Christ's love is broad enough. There is, Christ's love will never run out or end. It is long enough. No one can ever do anything that puts them beyond the reach of Christ's love. It is deep enough to reach all. And Christ's love can lift us from the depths to the heights of what God wants us to be. You know, have we really grasped the depths of God's love for people? I think there's part of me that wants to say yes, but there's also part of me that wants to say no. I don't think I have grasped the depths of God's love for people. We need the power and the strength of the Spirit to help us love each other and love all humanity with the love of Christ. When I walk past a homeless person and look the other way, trying to avoid eye contact, have I really grasped the depths of God's love, which embraces all? When I say I'm so fed up with so-and-so, I just can't deal with them, have I really grasped the depths of God's love, which never runs out or ends? The God who out of love has been mightily patient with me. When I finished my training for Baptist ministry at Spurgeon's College, I went through the settlement process, the process that we as a church are going through now, and looking at churches. And one church we visited during that process, I remember well, and probably Helen remembers quite well. We met the team that were interviewing prospective ministers, and they were complaining about the drug addicts on their doorstep and how they wanted to minister to the middle-class housing estate on the edge of town. That church will remain nameless. But there is a sense in which, had they grasped the width, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love, there is always more for us to grasp about the nature of the love of God. There is always more for us to be surprised about the extent of God's love. There is always more for us to know about the amazing, undeserved, and unending kindness of God's love towards sinners, both us and other people. You can almost hear Paul saying, be prepared to be surprised. Does God surprise you anymore? Because I think he wants to surprise you about the extent of his love. And why does Paul pray that the Ephesian Christians may grasp more of God's love? Verse 19, so that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. so that in grasping the wideness of God's love, his love becomes our love. That we become in some way full of God. So that our love for each other and our love for all humanity may be his love. So that when people look at us, they see God's love shining through. So that we become like Christ in our ability to love people. And therefore Christ fills our whole life and we are filled to the measure of the fullness of God. You know, there is something deeply attractive about a community that knows how to love. I can remember hearing a preacher speak once, and he said a church had invited him to come and teach them how to evangelize. Come and do this conference for us and teach us how to evangelize. And he went there and he taught them about loving others. And the church minister came up to him part of the way through the conference and said, "I thought you were going to teach us about evangelizing." Actually, the best way is loving others, he said. There is something deeply attractive about a community that is able to love. So may we grasp how wide, how high, how deep, how long is the love of God. But perhaps we think, this seems overwhelming, Paul's prayer here. Seeing change in my inner life, grasping the depths of God's love when it seems ungraspable, loving others to a deeper level. But the end of Paul's prayer answers that question. He says in verses 20 to 21, God can do this. Just when we think, I don't know if I can change or experience the inner transformation that God wants for me. I don't know how to love people better or to grasp God's love for them. Lord, how can I pray this prayer in all sincerity? Paul says it's okay because you don't do this alone. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is working us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ through all generations. And here Paul says all generations. His prayer is not just for the Ephesian church. It is for all generations of the church, including us today. God is able. When we feel like I can't change, God is able. When we feel like I don't know that I can love this person, God is able. When we feel like I don't know, Lord, if I can do this, God is able. Paul's vision and prayer for the Ephesian Christians is that they may know inner transformation and that they may grasp deeper the love of God for each other and for all humanity. That's the foundation. That's Paul's vision for the church. That's a good vision. It's a good foundation on which we build everything else, all the other good stuff about church life. A people who are seeking to be transformed from the inside out by God. A people who are seeking to love at a deeper level. Let's pray. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that us being rooted and established in love may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout our generation and all generations forevermore. Amen.